This is That's Why It's Hotter, written by Cartoon Mayor and Coastal Service, and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Part 3 of the Wet-Ass Squissyverse. Chapter 1. Ed is fishing off the pier when the head pops up. He almost screams. An unfamiliar presence in his head blasts out a very clear, "No threat, no harm." Ed lets his fish knife slide back to the dock beside him, but he keeps it close, well within reach. "What the fuck?" he thinks, because he spends so much time with only Steed that his first instinct is apparently to talk psychically. "What the fuck? What the fuck?" he tries again, out loud this time. The presence, which feels Scylla, not that Ed can guess what else it could be, flashes some images to Ed of what has to be Steed. He looks younger, but it's the same floating blonde hair, the same gorgeous teal tentacles. Ed wiggles around the bond that's rapidly thickening between him and the stranger. He knows instinctually he's better at it now than he would have been before he became part Scylla, before the shift. "Steed? Steed Bonnet? Lives on a house?" says the stranger in Ed's mind. "In a house," Ed corrects absently, then startles again. "Wait, you're looking for Steed?" His fingers inch towards the knife again, and he reaches out with his mind and tugs the bond that links him to his mate, opening it up. He can feel Steed, groggy, grumbling at the other end. Steed's been out of sorts lately, itchy in the bond, touchy, clingy, and fretful. Ed's not sure what to do about it, but he feels like it's starting to seep into him, too. He's still the happiest he's ever been, still fucking thrilled with his lot in life as it stands, but there's something... he doesn't know what. Steed's taking a nap about it this afternoon, floating 20 feet down on the bottom of the bay, letting the weight of the water press him on all sides to see if he can stop the restlessness under his skin. Jim had asked if it was mites. Steed had not appreciated the suggestion. "Right! Humans live inside houses! Inside the walls!" The stranger seems to be taking mental notes. Ed feels himself starting to relax. This guy really doesn't seem like a threat. Steed tugs back at the bond, a little more awake now. "What is it, darling?" he asks. Ed can feel him stretch his tentacles and his arms, can sense the relief he gets from it. Warm sweetness flows down their connection, and it's returned. Ed can't tell who sent it first, but it makes the corners of his lips twitch up the slightest bit, makes his eyelashes flutter. Sea lords and human gods, he loves this fucking guy.
"Scylla here, looking for you."
He sends a picture of the guy along with an impression of his mental voice.
"What do you want me to do?"
Steed's presence is suddenly a lot more awake. "Scylla, here, help!" He cuts himself off quickly, and Ed's thighs twitch as Steed bunches his tentacles to shoot upwards, all groggy sweetness gone. "I'm coming, Ed, I'm coming. Don't let them near you." His mental voice is frantic, hard, not like Ed's ever heard before. Ed sees him a second later as he bursts from the ocean in front of the stranger. He's sleek in the water, rising up nearly to the waist, dripping water from his hair, down his broad, muscled back, the skin shading light blue at his waist. He fans his tentacles out around him, keeping the waterline at his hips, and he looms down over the stranger.
"It's... fuck. It's really fucking hot."
Ed's not used to Steed being intimidating. Steed is... he's Steed. He loves Animorphs books and only the light green seaweed in the seaweed salad from Tanaka. He collects marbles and refuses to believe cream cheese comes from an animal. But he's also... Ed knew Steed was strong, of course he did. But it's just a different view of his mate and husband than he's used to, all right? It's fucking hot. "Steed," says the stranger. "It's me, Jeffrey." Steed pauses, sinking a little in the water. Ed can feel his confusion. "Jeffrey Fettering, from the Kelp Patch?" In Steed's mind, Ed can see a group of, oh shit, tiny Scylla, their little baby arms waving with their tiny nubbly tentacles. The name rings the slightest echo of familiarity with Steed. "Jeffrey?" says Steed, and sinks down in the water, pulling his tentacles back in from their tense display. "What are you doing here?" "Why does he have a human name?" Ed asks along his private connection with Steed.
A human name, replies Steed. Jeffrey's one of the oldest Scylla names, older than Steed. Humans got it from us. He sends an image of a sleeping human, sends the sensation of a free-floating net of psychic power, a sort of miasma, washing over them as they dream. We used to be much closer, your species and mine. Steed runs gentle mental fingers down Ed's cheek. Not as close as you and I, though. The whole exchange takes a fraction of a second. Jeffrey's barely through his preamble, and Ed tunes back in. I thought you might not have heard the news.
News? Asks Steed.
You're all the way out here, and I respect that. I think it's very cool and brave. But I thought maybe you would be a little out of the loop, and I was headed this way anyway, and...
Buddy, Ed interrupts. Tell us what you're here to say.
Jeffrey blinks, looks at Steed. You have quite a bond with your human mate. I can feel it.
Jeffrey, says Steed,
and Ed can feel the note of impatience in his mental tone.
What news?
Oh, right. Well, there's a... He says something, but it's not a word. Or at least, Ed's brain can't quite latch onto it the way he can to most Scylla language. The concept slithers through Ed's mind, which does its best to translate something untranslatable into human words. Wet, layered, rushing magic. Cascade, Ed's mind finally spits out.
What's cascade? Asks Ed.
Steed shakes his head, sending a quick later his way. And Ed tries not to be annoyed. He hates being out of the loop.
You're one of the called? Steed asks.
But Jeffrey is sending a baffled wave of amusement their way before Steed finishes sending the thought.
Oh, Sea Lords, no, he says.
No, I'm not mated, not yet. Lucius and Pete have been called. It's a big one, they say. Maybe the biggest ever. Steed's mind prickles at the names, flashes a picture of a pair of Scylla at Ed, one bald with long brownish red tentacles, the other pale and dark-haired, with peachy pink tentacles fading into red at the tips. They're not friends of Steed's, not really, but he doesn't have the flash of anxiety he usually has when thinking of the Scylla he knows from his past. They've gone ahead to begin the preparations. It's Jeffrey sends what must be the equivalent of GPS coordinates for Scylla. A whirl of information. Currents and temperatures and star maps through deep, dark water. Ed can't quite figure it out, and the effort makes him a little nauseated until Steed tugs his mind, pulls him into alignment, and overlays the constellations and rushing tides onto a map of the Pacific. It's a spot off the coast of Colombia. 1,000 miles west, deep below the waves. It's far from home. Maybe 2,000 miles total. But it's a distance they've traversed before.
Oh, no, says Steed. We aren't going there. We're not? Then why?
Jeff is just telling us the news, says Steed. Only certain Scylla are called to the Cascade, and only one pair from each shoal in the brine. There's a note of something in Steed's presence, in his words. A cousin of longing, something akin to fascination, reverence. Steed wants this. Steed wants to be called, has wanted this for years, his whole life, maybe. There's a yearning for it that Ed feels echoing through his bones, in his own heart. The part of him that will always be Scylla is drawn to the concept, to the place, like an inescapable current, a rolling tide.
You'll tell me about it? Ed asks.
He sets the rod aside, pushes his knife further up the dock, slides into the water and lets Steed's tentacles draw him in.
After he goes, you'll tell me everything?
Steed's reply is immediate, a balm against Ed's raw nerves as his tentacles curl around his waist and twist around his thighs. Of course, my love. I'll tell you everything I know. Jeffrey looks at Ed curiously, then up at Steed. I'd heard the rumors, he says, but I wasn't sure I could believe them. Ed feels Steed's hackles rise.
Rumors?
That you and your human had completed the shift, Jeffrey explains. That you're really bonded. That he's part of you and you're part of him and you're both in the Sea Lord's grace.
Is that a problem?
Steed asks. His tentacles constrict against Ed, his suckers flaring, pulling at Ed's skin, releasing again.
No. The denial is immediate.
No, I'm really impressed, man. Steed's tentacles go still, tied on Ed's body. What? You wanted to meet the humans, and you did. You said to hell with convention, and you made it one. And figured out how to make it work. Besides, with the troubles lately, it's good to see a shift that's worked so well. Especially one that nobody thought was possible. It gives the rest of us weirdos hope, if you don't mind me saying so. Ed can feel that Steve does kind of mind being called a weirdo and lumped in with this guy, who even Ed can tell is kind of an odd duck for Acilla. But he's uncharacteristically tactful as he replies with a vaguely positive feeling. Could I invite you for a meal? He asks. Both of you? My shoal isn't more than 2 days' journey from here, even for your human. Steed's already sending a very polite negative, and Jeffrey's face falls. Thank you for the news, Jeffrey, and it was lovely to see you again. But we have important human work that we can't leave. Jeffrey nods, crestfallen. No, hey, important human work, of course. I guess I'll maybe see you around then? Will you be coming to the churn? Maybe, says Steed, which Ed knows is an absolutely the fuck not. After a few more pleasantries, Jeffrey finally disappears under the waves. Steed doesn't let Ed go until he's out of sight, even for Steed's sharp eyes, far from their little bay. Important human work, huh? Says Ed, grinning. What work is that? Research, Ed, says Steed. Human anatomy. You're full of shit, Ed says. But he knows Steed can feel the deep well of amused affection under the words. He lets Steed draw him close, kisses him under the Caribbean afternoon sun, and buries his fingers in Steed's curls. Steed tugs him below the waves. Ed feels his body make the strange switch from air to water, feels the way the dissolved gases seep through his skin into his blood without his lungs as an intermediary. It was fucking weird the first few times he did this after completing the shift, but now it's nearly second nature. There's no moment of panic as he allows the water to fill his nose and Steed to cover his mouth with his own as they sink into the warm sea. He focuses on soothing the lingering anxiety Steed feels at being confronted with one of his own kind. Jeffrey had clearly posed no threat, but Steed is still buzzing along their bond about the potential danger if Ed were to engage with other Scylla. There's really no question when it comes to Scylla versus human in the long run. One species has psychic powers and loads of tentacles and amphibious advantages. The other has dicks. The whole breathing underwater thing has taught him a new trick. Ed can stuff his mouth with Steed's tentacles all he wants without ever needing to stop for breath. As Steed calms down, Ed brushes gentle fingers against his suckers, delighting as he always does at the way they suck and release his skin in a pulsing rhythm at the contact. Ed pulls one tentacle to his face and nuzzles into it, giggling out bubbles when one of the suckers gives him a deliberate little kiss on the cheek. He'll have a small mark there, but he loves it when Steed marks him. Ed finds that same sucker and rubs the tip of his tongue around it. The texture took some getting used to at first, the sharp but flexible little teeth, but now it just makes Ed feel good. And he always feels good when he's making Steed feel good. He loves the way they swirl together in their bond, sending pleasure back and forth, melding together. Steed shudders and draws Ed closer. Ed threads the tentacle through his hands, winds it between his fingers, kissing and licking the suckers as he does. He finally reaches the tip and swirls his tongue in a circle around it. Steed presents another tentacle, and Ed repeats the process again and again, so many times that he loses count of all the tentacles he's teased. Steed is completely relaxed now, focused on Ed's mouth, the amative bond opening up between them. Steed snakes a few tentacles around to brush against Ed's ass and dick, and Ed appreciates it. But right now, he really, really wants to fuck Steed thoroughly with his mouth. Wants to get his mouth thoroughly fucked and filthy by Steed's slick tentacles. Oral is one of the only things he misses about human sex. There's something about cum in his mouth, hot and thick, salty and heady, that just isn't the same with tentacles. It was really fun to blow Steed during the shift, but it was his dick, and it wasn't his own mouth, so not quite what he was looking for. Anyway, it's no big deal. Just like everything else he gave up to be with Steed, it barely registers. He just thinks about it sometimes. Steed worms the tentacle into Ed's mouth, shutting up his thoughts. Steed is a little disgruntled, guilty turned on about it, and Ed sends a pulse of reassurance along their bond that he loves this. He loves it so much. And Steed isn't inadequate in the slightest. You can't get everything you want with one partner, human or Scylla. And Scylla can do so, so much more than a human in almost every other respect. Like overlaying their pleasure onto your mind as you're literally giving it to them. Jesus fuck. Ed loves his mate so fucking much. The tingling suction of his own mouth is psychically wriggling through his own dick. And also, somehow, his limbs. Because a tentacle isn't a dick, and it isn't a leg. It's a semi-sentient fuck machine. The bond shakes with Steed's amusement at that thought. A little reductive, my darling, don't you think? Ed sucks hard in response. At first, Steed likes to just pulse inside Ed's mouth, but then his tentacles start to rock from side to side, and he probes a little deeper. And when he's really getting into it, the tentacle swivels around and around, back and forth, the sucker scraping deliciously against Ed's tongue and palate and the insides of his cheeks. Steed likes to get himself good and riled, and then pull out and stick another tentacle in to start the whole thing over, the little hedonist. The previously sucked tentacles rub together once Ed is done with them, keeping the rolling tide of his pleasure creeping forward, wave by wave, riding up the shore. It's a sensation Ed can't even translate into his human body, except from his memories of being in Steed's. It's like edging, and like humping a pillow, and like a vibrator on a low setting, if you had multiple dicks that didn't come and they could just kind of fuck each other. Steed is getting closer and closer, spinning and replacing tentacles in Ed's mouth so fast that Ed just relaxes his body completely and lets Steed support and use him, lips and tongue slick and swollen. Steed begins to move so quickly that one tentacle isn't fully withdrawn before the next one goes in, and motherfuck. Ed grabs both tentacles, jaw stretching deliciously, and screams along their bond for Steed to keep them both exactly where they are. Steed almost comes to that thought on his own, but Ed clamps down on their amative bond because he isn't ready yet. Two tentacles in his mouth, pulsing, shuddering, fuck. He thinks about Steed taking turns with each tentacle fucking into his throat, and a nanosecond later, Steed does just that. So now Steed is stuffing Ed's mouth, rubbing his own tentacles together in Ed's throat in the process. And Steed's not the only one who's about to come from this alone. Steed reaches down and squeezes the tentacle around the base of Ed's dick so that he can't come either. Turnabout is fair play. I shouldn't have told you about that proverb. Ed, I want... Yeah, fuck, yeah. Steed slides a third tentacle into Ed's mouth. His cheeks are stretched and his jaw is aching and his throat is swollen. Steed is inside him, too, undulating against his prostate with a thin, twisting tentacle. He didn't even register when that happened, and he feels stuffed and full and so, so perfect. Steed's tentacles are everywhere, touching Ed, touching himself. He even slips a few along his own hole, skating through the tangle of tendrils and dipping in. Which still feels taboo to Steed, despite, maybe because of, how much it drives them both wild. Ed comes, pleasure blasting through him, but he doesn't stop sucking. He might come again. He might never have actually stopped coming. And Steed spills his ink into the water, whirling warm and dark and tangy all around their bodies. Steed withdraws his tentacles, and Ed kicks to the surface to breathe real air. Steed is nestled inside Ed's mind and body with him, enjoying the way his chest and belly expand. Ed may be able to live underwater now, but he still loves using his lungs, and Steed is always thrilled to feel a little bit human. Steed joins him above the surface, and they tangle together physically as well as mentally. That was nice, Steed says.
Just nice?
Very nice. I think I can take four next time. The tips of Steed's tentacles give a little snap and wriggle of arousal. Neither of them are ready to go again yet, but the night is young. End of chapter 1.